Hiya, it's me, Noz, and this is another episode of Stuttering With Pals. This one is much like the first episode in that it's just me chatting to a mate about nothing in particular, basically just whatever pops up. And as before, it's probably someone that you've never heard of, who's just a mate of mine. So yeah, this one's about, well, this one's with my mate Joe Gilmore, who's my youngest mate, I'd say. Well, definitely my youngest mate, because he's like 20, which is like a fucking baby, but that's not quite as noncy as it sounds, because, like, first of all, he's like a foot taller than me, and as you'll hear, he sounds like fucking Barry White. And yeah, no, he's just dead mature, top bloke, like top sense of humour, and just really talented. And yeah, so here it is. Hope you enjoy it. Right, Joe, how's it going?
Yeah, mate, how's it going?
Yeah.
Good.
In Manchester today?
Yeah. With the scum.
With the scum. just for...
I got an opinion of that.
No,
I can't be asking for...
No. No, we're including that. You called us scum. No, but just for context, you're from Liverpool.
Yeah, well, I'm not from Liverpool. I'm from Wallasey. So basically, I'm called a wall. Because, like, I'm not actually Scouse. Yeah. Although I think I probably will sound very Scouse. I'm not actually Scouse and Wall. And every Scouse who listens to this will know I'm not a Scouser, but, like...
Like, how will they know?
It's like a little twang, like... I think it's the way you say, oh, like... We just say it differently.
Right.
And
Wallasey's not in Liverpool?
No, Wallasey's, like... we're on a peninsula, so... Liverpool's, like... to the right of us, basically, and Wallasey's like the closest you can get to Liverpool without actually being on that side of the water, sort of thing.
Right. So, in terms of Wolves, yeah. I only know about Wolves from Twitter, and it seems as if everyone's got a different definition, because, like, I've even heard people call people from outside of the UK, like Scandinavian fans, or, yeah. Whatever, like Indian fans is like Wolves, but I would have thought that they're Wolves. I would have thought Wolves are people that are near where you live but aren't quite in that city.
See, really, the people who are Wolves are just, it's, trying to explain it. And if you're on the other side of the Mersey, it stops at about Southport in the north, I think about Ormskirk in the east, and then just after Speak in the south. I mean, there's absolutely a massive debate about what's a wall, what's not a wall. I think it's like Knowsley, where it stops for some people, but I think it's the case up there, the real walls, like Widnes, Warrington, Wallasey, Chester, they're all proper walls. And then you've got like I think Liverpool fans just call everyone, or not Liverpool fans, people from Liverpool, just call everyone Wolves because it's funny.
Yeah.
It's just Scouse humour.
I think, I'm sure, like, I've heard in Manchester, like maybe even, like, Woollybacks or something. Where, yeah. So, like, people who are, like, from, like, Bolton and Bury and places like that, but not from Manchester. It's almost, I'm not saying this personally, but it's almost like, oh, they're, like, yokels, like, sort of, like, a bit more, sort of, like, not, like, as urban or...
It's yeah, it is a bit like that. Like, we are considered dead posh to, like, people from Liverpool. But, like, I think it originated from... I might be wrong on it, someone's going to have to fact-check me. But I think people from the world used to wear coats that were, like, made of, like, sheepskin. Obviously, right. Wool. And then, obviously... the wool's on your back, so you just get all the woolly back, and then obviously it's shown down to wool.
Right.
So that's the origin.
Right. And yeah, so you're in Manchester now, because, like, we work together.
Yeah.
And like you're probably my youngest sort of proper mate.
Yeah.
And obviously that's through work, but like, because how old are you now?
20.
20. But like, that sounds massively young, but like, you don't seem 20 to me, because like we've how long have we known each other? About 3 years?
Yeah, about 3 years. Well, I've been working at Joe since April 2016.
Was it?
Yeah, 2016. That's when.
So you were like, you were barely legal when we met.
Literally, yeah, I was 17.
but part of the reason why like I've never really thought of you as being as young as you are is because you're massive.
Yeah.
Like as in what are you, 6'6"?
6'7".
Fucking hell. And
if there's any fit beards listening, I am 6'7" and I do have a very nice beard.
A very nice what?
Beard.
And also it's you are really mature for your age.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so yeah. So you're probably my youngest mate, but weirdly, and I suppose this is because the industry we're in, like you're probably my oldest mate. You're probably one of my oldest mates at work because like people come and go, but like you and I are probably like what in class is like. Two of the originals from from back in the day.
Yeah, it's my I think so because I've been freelancing since like about 15.
Joel like discovered you? Who sort of recommended you? Do you know?
It's got to be Christian.
Christian.
I think basically, if you want to know like how I started doing stuff, I used to do it on Twitter for a laugh.
Right.
Pretty much. So like. Whether it's a case of just trying to be funny on Twitter, just trying to, because I've got no mates. just trying to be funny on Twitter, trying to get big on Twitter and stuff, just because I was bored and something to do, I was in school.
Yeah.
And then one day, a man called Stephen Gerrard.
Don't think I've heard of him.
No. Mamadou Sakho.
Is he, vaguely, isn't he like a. Isn't he a bit like Frank Lampard, but not as good?
Yeah. I think he's a wall. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Where's he from, incidentally? Is he from Liverpool?
He's from... He's not. I don't want to guess. I'll get absolutely slaughtered. He's from Liverpool, but I don't know. That's where I'll get absolutely slaughtered. But yeah, so I think someone passed him the ball and then like he just let it go past him and like slipped. And then after that game... shout out to the Redmen TV. A man called Chris Payak called Chelsea fans a bunch of fucking rent boys, and I put his head on a video, and it was actually I put the clip inside a Teletubby's belly, and just had the Teletubby's laughing, and I sent it to Christian and said, "Is this any good, mate?" And then eventually he followed me back, and then that's literally how we got. Chatting.
So when you got in touch with Christian, I mean just for sort of context, like Christian is our mutual mate.
Yeah.
And he's like fucking amazing at sort of like head swaps and things. Yeah. As are you. But like,
he's like my.
Your mentor.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah. So when you first got in touch, was he like. Was he recognised on social media as being the best at what he did?
I think so.
Do you think that whole thing of sort of doing rotoscoping and head swaps? Do you think that was really early, in the development of that?
I think when I started, they were definitely like just starting out. Like Christian was one of, if not only, the person who was doing it. I mean, he's definitely the person that I took inspiration from. He's gonna absolutely love this. he's definitely who I took inspiration from. I saw his videos and thought, you know, I might be able to do that. I was alright on Photoshop, so I thought maybe I can apply Photoshop skills to that. He's really the first one who started doing it. There were a few others knocking about, but everyone saw like he's the one who's still going strong now, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So
were you always creative? Were you like drawing and stuff when you were a kid and stuff?
I'd have to say, I liked the odd draw, but I wouldn't say I was necessarily like art-based. I was really into drama as a kid. I was massive on the, I remember being in school doing like Blood Brothers for GCSEs, and I was like, I can't remember the characters. I was one of the brothers.
Yeah.
I think I was the scally one. But yeah, so I was really, so maybe you can say I was creative that way. But apart from that, no, it wasn't specifically art based.
Because you've been doing it for so long now, like 3 years is a long time. And because you started doing it when you were really young, like I suppose it can seem like, to an outsider, it can seem as if like it came like dead easy to you and you just ended up doing it. And like, I suppose from the outside, like there'll be loads of people who are thinking like Jammy Sword, like he's doing something that he enjoys doing and stuff.
Don't get me wrong, I absolutely love my job. I love what I do, but it's not like I just got it. I used to do stuff for like, I remember getting a tenner for a video and thinking, oh my God, I've just got a tenner. Like, what? I do this for a laugh. I can't believe I've just got a tenner. And like, just how it's transformed since then. It's amazing.
But also, I mean, I think the reason why you're really good at it, and I think the reason why you were really good at it from the beginning is you've got a really good sense of humor. And I think that's the thing that sort of sometimes gets lost in any sort of like making any sort of thing for like social media or any kind of media, is that like anyone who's been creative, like people focus too much on the technical skills and like the ability to sort of like make videos or make whatever.
Yeah.
But it's all about the idea, isn't it? It's all about the humor.
Completely. Because like literally I can spend 4 days on a video and it won't do as well as something I'll bang out in 5 minutes. Like, I remember when, like, I could spend 4 days on a video and it'll get, like, 50 retweets. Whereas, I remember when Ronald Koeman got sacked, I put Ronald Koeman's hair on the fella from EastEnders, can't remember what his name is, and it was, like, please, and it was a picture of him saying, please don't do this.
Oh, Phil Mitchell.
Phil Mitchell. Yeah. And literally, I got, like, 10K. It's, like, from 2 minutes away of literally me just putting ginger hair on Phil Mitchell. So it's like, honestly, it's not about, I mean, don't get me wrong, technical definitely comes into it, but like, from a funny point of view, if something's not funny, making it look amazing isn't gonna make it funny.
And do you think there's something specific about like Scouse humour? Because like, it's almost taken as given, like on, especially on Twitter, that there's almost like a subsect of sort of like Twitter of like Scouse humour that's sort of quite on the edge, quite sort of like.
Definitely,
there's lots of reference points that like Scousers and people from the North of England probably get, but like other people might not.
I think definitely. I mean, if you look at like Scouse Twitter, like you got Parnoodle Fringe, Round the Bend, all accounts like that. I think it's just one of them things where Scouts always take it too far. Like, we're always edgy, and sometimes we go a bit too over the edge, and then gets a bit questionable. But I think definitely that's just our humour. Like shock.
And again, like not wanting to make it into a fucking Christian arse licking session. Like one of the interesting things with like, I think one of the things that both you and I have always liked about the stuff he does.
Yeah.
Is like, in spite of the fact that he's from Norway,
he still gets it.
Yeah, he's got a really English sense of humour, hasn't he?
I think he's done well to sort of, he knows the Scouse humour. He knows, like, I'm going to say Merseyside humour because I'm going to get absolutely done it for being more. But yeah, he gets it. You know, he's like, he knows what's funny. He's not how most Scousers would say, I hate Norwegians. Do you know what I mean? He's not like, no offence to any Norwegians. Yeah. He's the only Norwegian now, and I absolutely love him. So, like,
we even popped over and went to Oslo.
Oslo, had a little march around.
How did you find that?
I just loved it. Just absolutely fucking love
it. It was fucking cold, wasn't it?
It was frabs, like literally frabs.
What the fuck's frabs?
No, what frabs means? Oh, frabs, it's Scouse then. Right. But yeah, it's just absolutely.
It was proper snowing.
Yeah.
Like even popping round the corner from where we were staying to get a coffee, like it was a bit of a trek because of the snow.
I mean, you had to put 5 layers on.
I'm amazed we weren't falling over all the time.
Yeah, like. You decked it once, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. I fell once. You went up, did you?
No, I did a proper, like, yeah, this is a good visualization. If you ever watch Scooby-Doo, And you know when he starts running, yeah, but he's actually running on the spot before he actually goes. I did that on the bridge, if you remember.
I think I felt quite graceful, like, because I kind of did it slow motion, didn't I?
Yeah.
I just slid to the floor.
Yeah.
So one thing that we found out, well, there's two things that sort of immediately sort of come into my, well, three things actually. One thing is that Norwegians have got this like brown cheese that tastes quite sweet.
Yeah.
I
put on like a Ribena.
Yeah, I ended up quite liking that.
Yeah.
Another thing is that shuffleboard is massive. Well, we really enjoyed it over there. I presume it's massive over there.
It's the best sport in the entire world, but yeah, like, it's better than footy.
How would you explain shuffleboard? We've noticed that a few shuffleboard places have opened up in Manchester recently as well.
Yeah, well, big debate in that how it's scored.
Why?
Because like some people could go both ends, some people go shoot from one end, some people shoot from both ends. Yeah, apparently there's a lot of different ways to play it. But basically, it's throwing. It's like, I'm trying to think, what's
it's
that?
It's like a really long sort of like thing where you sort of slide a disc.
Yeah.
And it has to get as far along on that long sort of like. Without falling off the edge.
Pretty much, yeah.
I think we spent most nights playing that.
Literally, we went to an absolutely amazing country, and then just sat in a pub and drank pints and played shuffleboard.
What was that place we went to, that we kept on going to? I don't drink, but there was a massive menu, wasn't there?
Yeah, and the thing is, about Norway, they don't serve in pints; they serve in 2/3 of pints because it's absolutely so expensive.
Yeah.
And it's like a tenner for like 2/3 of a pint, which is outrageous. But the pints are absolutely
I think Norway's expensive in general,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
What did we end up? What kind of stuff did we end up eating there?
I think I ended up actually having Thai food one time. It's Norway and I'm Thai for the first time.
Oh yeah, like street food.
Yeah. I think I had a pad Thai. Because there was that Olympics place set up, wasn't it?
Yeah, because the Winter Olympics was on, wasn't it? And but Christian took us to a proper proper Norwegian. We should probably know what it's called because it's meant to be quite famous, isn't it?
I had reindeer.
You had reindeer? Yeah. How was reindeer?
It's probably a bit like, you know, when Tesco accidentally served horse instead of meat, instead of cows. That's probably what it was like, because it was just it really gamey. Like it felt like it's been proper shot.
Right.
Like it's been like it's had its head popped off. Like,
did you feel bad? Did you feel like you were eating one of Santa's helpers?
I mean, it was glowing red, but I think that's just the pocket. But nah, it was all right.
Yeah.
It was. I wouldn't pick it over to Mackie's, but like, yeah. I'll. A bit cultural.
All right, yeah. And the third thing that immediately springs to mind is there was one night, was it a Sunday or was it a Saturday where like you went out to get some cans?
Yeah, oh, it was Sunday.
So it wasn't even
on the Lord's Day.
It wasn't even that late, was it?
It was about five.
Yeah.
It was an absolute joke. So basically in Norway for some strange reason, you're not allowed to buy beer that is over 3%. Yeah. And like, basically, for the non-beer drinkers out there, you cannot drink a 3% beer without it going out of your system by the time you finish it. So you're literally feeling nothing. So me and my mate, Matt Stanger, went out like, yeah, we're gonna get some cans in, then we're gonna go out and get absolutely bevy. So we got these 2.4% cans in, and literally they tasted absolutely disgusting. It was rancid, and then like ended up not feeling anything, and then going out and paying about £20 for a pint. it was honestly a weird experience to be like.
But also, there was a bit of a palaver of trying to get into clubs and stuff. But like, another thing about you, so like obviously like we get on, and like obviously you're a lot younger than me, but like you're one of these people who like wherever you go you'll get on with anyone. I like, even to the extent that like even though you're one of the younger people within the company, like you have a proper laugh with you, like even the owner, sort of like, and just yeah, sort of like have a mess around.
Got a bit bad, you know.
but like the reason I mention it is, didn't you end up going to a club where you met like a famous TV guy?
Basically, yeah. When because me and my mates are horrible alcoholics, and we need alcohol to have fun. We had to get Oz because Matt took you home, didn't he?
Yeah, Matt was basically being chaperone because I've got no sense of direction. So like he was like, okay, well I'll take you home because I know the way, and then I'll come back and look after Joe.
So yeah, so my two dads walked home together and left their son. Was that 19 or 18 at the time?
It was only last year.
Last year, so I was 19.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I was 19 at the time. They left me in the middle of Oswell. I didn't have a fucking clue where it was. I was half pissed. And then he just said, oh, look on your phone for some clubs and I'll come meet you. So I walked to this club, and to be fair, I'd had about 2-3 pints, which I wasn't even really that tipsy. I walked to this club on my own, looking a bit seedy, had about 5 coats on, and the fella goes to me, oh, you're too pissed, mate. I'm like, what? You're too pissed. I was like, okay.
Is he speaking English?
I'll find someone, yeah.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know, I don't know what the Norwegian accent is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was too pissed. I was like, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
So went to this, walked around, eventually found this pub, and it said over 21. So I was like, I look over 21, I'm gonna get in here. In the queue, he was IDing every single person that went into the club. I'm like, shit, how the fuck am I gonna get into this? So end up going to the front of the queue. I stand at the front of the queue. Someone behind me runs out and starts kicking off. So the bouncer goes, I'm going to sec, mate. Runs off, sorts this fella, and I'm like, now, what do? Do I make a run for it inside the club, or do I wait? And I thought, I'm not ready to get tackled by a 6'10" bouncer who's about 100 stone heavier than me. So I'll just wait. So he comes back and just goes, go on, mate, go on. Go inside. So I'm like, oh my god.
proper fluke.
Honest to god, absolutely fluked. It was like a TV show. So I went inside. I was like, oh, my mate, it'll be about 20 minutes. So I'm just going to get a bevy. Got a bevy. And then this fella comes over to me, starts speaking to me. I'm like, you're right, mate. And he's like, really, really friendly with me. And then he goes to me, do you know who I am? And I'm like, mate, I'm from like Merseyside, I don't have a clue. And he goes, oh yeah, pass your phone. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get robbed here. But and he goes, go on Google. He types his name in and he's like, God, I cannot remember his name for the life of me. I've probably got it saved on my phone. He's like a presenter for a TV.
Right.
Channel, and I'm like, I still don't have a clue.
Wasn't he like quite a large bow bloke?
So I messaged Christian and said, who's this fella?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, he's actually Norway's version of Carl Pilkington. He's super famous.
Right.
So I was like, I don't know what to do because I'm just literally having a bevy with him. Like, I think I bought him a pint.
Right.
And he's like this millionaire from Oslo. Speaking to some scruffy wool. But yeah, I mean, Matt came in and had a baby.
Yeah.
It's good.
Nice. No, I enjoyed going over. It was nice to meet Christian as well.
In
natural habitat.
It was nice to spend some time outside of work as well, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Time off. We have to relax.
We've spoken about going elsewhere, like it's either Rome or Sheffield.
Yeah, Rome or Sheffield. Shouts out to the ref.
John McClure from Reverend the Makers came in and essentially everyone in the office fell in love with him.
I was thinking.
Yeah, Joe was really looking forward to meeting him. And he happened to come in when Joe wasn't in. But yeah, everyone loved the ref. So yeah, we'll visit him in Sheffield. And you, because I've been to Sheffield, but I've never been on a night out in Sheffield, but you said it's in.
Yeah, I've been twice. Yeah. I went for the first time with a couple of mates from uni. Well, not my uni, I didn't go to uni, but a couple of mates who were in uni at the time. Yeah, it was a mad night out. There's got this club called, like, it's this little stupid student club called, like, Corporation. And it's like 4 floors. And the bottom floor is goths. So you just see, it's like goths, R&B, pop, house, and you just get a different set of people for every single place. Yeah, it's amazing. And then the second time I went to Sheffield, I went to see Patrick Toppin, some like techno DJ, so two different mates. Yeah. But yeah, forward to getting down to Sheffield, seeing around, seeing what it's all about.
Just in terms of music, sort of what kind of, because the thing is, when I was your age, in like the 90s and the noughties and stuff, like if you were young, like most young people were into like indie music. That was the music that most people were into, sort of generally. Obviously, like 90s R&B was massive, and everyone loved that.
Yeah,
but like generally, like indie was like the top 10 would be full of like indie sort of tunes and stuff, and a lot of that was obviously influenced by Britpop and stuff like that. But it seems as if like music has changed in that like now guitar music isn't really sort of like that popular. Like whether in the charts or just among sort of young people around, and it's so somebody growing up now sort of wouldn't not that many people would be into indie music. So in terms of sort of like the kind of music you and your mates are into, like what is it quite broad, or is it specific things you really enjoy?
See, it's different. Like I've almost got different mates for different types of music. like I'm majorly into me like R&B, like or rap, or whatever. Like, to be fair, a bit basic, like Drake or
there's nothing wrong with being basic.
Drake, basic.
If something's good, it's good. Do you know what I mean?
But like I'm massive fan of Drake. Like I've seen him.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because like I don't know much about Drake, to be honest. But like we were having a, I think because like we were sort of having a debate sort of. Like once, and you mentioned, I think somebody mentioned Drake. It was either you or somebody else.
Clancy.
Yeah, no, but like, so either you or somebody else sort of just said like one of the best sort of rappers out there or whatever, and Si, who's closer to my age, kind of said yeah, whatever, and you were like yeah, but he is.
Yeah, well, you absolutely out me as a basic bitch here about this opinion, but nah. I think with the thing is that Drake is so diverse, and like people call him a culture vulture, like fair enough, he does vultures.
Why do they call him a culture vulture?
I think it's a case of literally you can have five different songs and have a different accent in every single song.
Really?
Most recently, yeah, he did some of his old stuff. He did like a Spanish song, where just some Spanish.
Right.
And then obviously he's done a few bits with Dave. Who Dave is a grime artist, and he, like people say, he hopped on the grime trend, and then so yeah, he's got that, and then he's got obviously Canada, and then he's doing like a little Jamaican thing as well. Like he's jumping on so many different trends, and I think that's just because he's trying to stay relevant and like trying to and
Drake. How old is he? He's not too old, is he? He's not like
30. Early 30s. Right. Early 30s,
okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
Maybe 32, something like that. But he's been relevant for like 10 years. And like, try and think of an artist that can stay relevant on charts 10 years.
Yeah.
Can't think of too many. No. You know what I mean? So that's why it's like, there's nothing that Drake can't do.
Yeah.
In a sense of like, he sings, he raps.
Yeah.
He can do different languages, he can do different genres.
Yeah. But then you're joking about sort of like it being like basic bitch humor or whatever. I mean, music or whatever. But like, there's nothing wrong with sort of liking more alternative stuff. But then also liking some mainstream stuff.
I mean, totally. As I was gonna say, yeah. But like, my music taste is all over the place. Like, cause I'll go through periods. Like, I went through a period where I was massively into grime. So I was into like, I was massively into like Jamie, Skepta. This is gonna make me sound basic. I don't just listen to That's Not Me and Shut Down, anyone who knows. And even more recently I've been listening to like drill and stuff, which is like it gets a lot of bad rap in the media and stuff.
To like people who sort of like don't like wouldn't automatically know the difference between sort of like rap grime, drill? Like, what's the general
difference? So, rap is like, you can get English rappers and you can get American rappers. Grime is purely English based. It's sort of like, it's like a difference between the BPM, which differentiates rap and grime.
I might be absolutely
butchering grime here, by the way.
But did grime come out of London?
Yeah.
Right.
To my knowledge, anyway.
Yeah.
And then obviously it's branched out to like this big Birmingham scene, Manchester scene, and Liverpool as well.
Yeah.
And then drill. I think drill is. They do have drill in America, like in Chicago and stuff like that. But that's also London based. I'm no expert.
Yeah. Sometimes you can't describe music, you can just get to hear it.
It's a tough one to describe it.
Yeah.
Has
grime ever gone big in America?
Yeah, that's mainly due to Drake. Because right. Drake sort of brought like Skepta over to the US and introduced all the songs and stuff, and then Skepta started working with like Pharrell and stuff like that. But yeah, apart from like that side of things, I'm like massively into like techno and like house tech and all tech house, whichever you go with that. And I'd say nowadays I wouldn't really go and see like a rapper or anything like that. I'd much rather go to an event and watch DJ.
Right.
I'm honest.
And because you have been to, haven't you been to a few sort of like festivals or events and stuff?
Yeah, I've been to Creefields twice, been to Parklife twice, been to Ibiza, which is like a week long festival.
Hmm.
And then I went to a festival in Hungary because we were going to do a Lads Aldi, but we didn't really fancy doing like, you know, Magalore for Santi or something like that, so we ended up going to Hungary instead for a bit of a difference. I ended up going to a festival, yeah, that was good.
And which ones have you enjoyed the most?
I think it's sort of like totally different festivals. I mean, with Ibiza, it's just constantly getting booked all the time. It's like, wake up, bevy.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't stop. You don't stop in Ibiza. And then Hungary, it was more like some days we just went to the beach, whereas Ibiza's just clubs, like,
24/7. So there's more like opportunity to just like chill for a bit.
Yeah, when we went on, we were talking about chill for a bit. Whereas like if it's just 100 mile an hour.
Yeah, and another funny thing that sort of like I wasn't like, it shows how sort of out of it I am, is that sort of I think you bought like a, it might have been either a Germany top or a sort of Paris Saint Germain top, and like. I was like, why did you get that? And you were like, you wear it at clubs?
Well, yeah, in festivals.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just a trend at the moment. People just wear it all either. I know a lot of, like when I went to Parklife this year, everyone wears World Cup shirts.
Yeah.
And like everyone wears old, like a lot of people wear obviously England shirts, England. But I think it's just because it's comfy.
Yeah.
And it's like, obviously if you're in a festival, in the summer, you're gonna be dancing, so you're gonna be hot.
Yeah.
So if you wear something, like a lot of people, like this is maybe like a Scouse thing, wear like Under Armour tops, you know, like really just thin tops, so you can just have a dance, have a boogie.
That's another thing with you is that you're properly into your fashion, aren't you? As in your sort of you were telling me the other day about sort of like you'll happily spend far more on trainers than you really should and stuff like that.
I think it's one of them. If you can't take care of them, might as well splash out. Although I think what I found with trainers, literally, the more you spend on trainers, the more uncomfy they get.
I think some of the more expensive trainers are fucking ugly.
You can get some really ugly trainers, but then sometimes they're so ugly that they're nice. Like, they're so shit, they're decent. Like, there's some Balenciagas, like, they have these, I think they're called Balenciaga Triple S, and they look like they've got like a sole that is massive. And like, he just looks, if I wore them, I'd be like 6'10. Like, they just look stupid, but then, like, I mean, you look at them the first time, you're like, oh, they're horrible. And then, like, you look at them again, you're like, oh, no, it's horrible. And then, like, 6 months later, when you've seen them so much, you're like, yeah, I could probably wear them in all black. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's been thrown at you so much, you actually start thinking, yeah, it's half decent.
I I think, and I don't know if it's the same with you, but I think there's a thing with sort of like being working class. Is that sort of I think it's a working class thing to sort of spend a lot on clothes because it's almost like you've not got much, so like you want to take pride in what you've got and like you do want to get stuff to like show off and kind of thing, like, do you know what I mean? Like I saved up for this or I earned this, do you know what I mean? So like
definitely, I mean, you'll get like, I think it's also it's very heavy in Liverpool, like a lot of people don't, like we have a load of like designer shops and stuff like that, or like companies who set up like personal shopping, and I think Scouse is just like you can get people who'll get paid for 400 quid a week and they'll spend 350 quid on a t-shirt and then just live off that 50 quid, like, and just to go out for one night, and then they'll put it on their Instagram and then they'll never wear it again.
And on one level that can seem ridiculous, but I think fucking fair enough. Like you've earned your money. Like
you've earned your money.
And like a lot of people sort of like they work the week so they can enjoy. That's the reason they work, is so they can enjoy themselves.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think the opinion that someone shouldn't spend 300 quid or whatever on a t-shirt because they don't earn enough money, it's just like
it's snobby.
Snobby.
Yeah. This is Matt Stang. We're just recording, and you just interrupted. Do you want to say something about working with Joe? What a pleasure it is.
Every day is a voyage of discovery working with Joe.
Because he's so because he's so on the sort of he's got a finger on a pulse, and he's so.
Just because of the labyrinth of his mind.
Could have said it better yourself.
Are you on?
Known as a fire in a restaurant across the road.
Just watch.
Check it out. Well, I'll see you then.
See ya.
I want to
check out the fire now.
This podcast will go out 100 people dead from fire.
Oh, yeah.
There's a scouse team with you there.
I mean, just in terms of sort of like going out in Liverpool, is Liverpool a good night out?
It's honestly, you'd struggle to find a better night out in Liverpool. Yeah. Especially being my age. I mean, there's so many different places, like there's so many, like whatever type of music you're into.
Say I want to go to Liverpool, or like say there's people listening to this who have never been to Liverpool, and sort of if you had to recommend parts of Liverpool to sort of go to or even like maybe avoid to like on a night out, like what are the kind of places you'd recommend?
I'd say if you're into more of like your jeans and you know stuff like that, or just having like quiet one, but also going on a night out.
Is that an area?
Yeah, I'd say like Baltic Market, because it's like you go for some food, go for some scram, and you can like just have a chill one.
Is that central?
Just outside central, yeah.
Right.
And then if it's more like your stag do's or your hen do's, or like you're not students but you're not 60. I'd say probably Matthew Street.
Right.
Matthew Street's the best place, and then if you're a student or not a student, you're my age, I'd say definitely Concert Square. That's the best place to go, I think.
And these areas, like, would you get lots of similar clubs and bars?
Same but different.
Yeah.
Like you'll get bars who'll play like you obviously you've got your Pot Wales.
Yeah.
And your Pot Wales is like cheese, and then you've got like your bars, which is like your house, your bit of techno, your bit of upstairs, and then you'll have R&B, rap downstairs, and then you'll get places which is just purely R&B. There's a place called Level, where it's bottom floor, house and techno, middle floor, R&B and grime, and top floor, cheese.
Right.
So, yeah, literally, whatever you like,
yeah,
you'll be sound cool.
Going back to sort of your...
That's the fire across the road, by the way, that's what you can hear.
Is that what it is? Fucking hell, I hope it's nothing serious, otherwise I'll just edit this out. But But yeah, so just in terms of sort of like the whole going out thing.
Yeah.
Just wait for it to pass. Yes, so in terms of sort of like going out and stuff, like we've talked about how sort of from quite a young age, like you've had the responsibility of like a proper job. Like, would you say at any stage, like, and again, it's taken as read that you are very appreciative of the opportunities you've been given, but like, is there any stage at which like you've had to make sacrifices in terms of sort of not being able to go as out as much or like have it like stay out as late or anything as your mates? Or do you think it's been quite
if anything, it's sort of aided me to go out more. obviously my mates are in uni, skint.
Yeah.
Like, they have no money, but and then it gets more annoying for me because I'm like, I want to go out to like, we can't go out, we've got no money. I'm like, come on. But no, I wouldn't say it's hindered me. I mean, only times I can say it's hindered me is maybe when we're off for summer.
Right.
And obviously I can't go out in a day.
Yeah.
If I'm working or when it comes to footy games and stuff like that, I don't know. I don't mind at all. But like, yeah, just like football games, like if you want to go down the pub for a pint, watch the footy, and I'm working, sometimes I can't do it. But I don't mind too much. Really, because I can always go and see him afterwards, you know what I mean?
And if you weren't doing what you were doing, would you have done similar to them and probably gone to uni somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, I was already accepted to go to, was it John Moores or Sheffield? I think it was, there were me two choices I was going to do. I thought to myself, I don't know what I want to do, so I'll just do the broadest subject, which I'm good at, I can think of. So I think it was business and IT, or IT and business. Because I thought business is business, so business is everything. And IT, I'm good with computers. So just went into that sort of thing. And I was literally going to do it until...
And where would you have gone? Which university?
John Moores, Liverpool.
Right.
Yeah. I think it was either that or Sheffield. I got accepted into both, but... it's quite funny because I didn't actually get the grades, but it was just because my personal statement was just me talking about what I've done with like work and stuff like that, and I think maybe that might have edged it or whatever. But yeah, it's good. I mean, I have to say, I don't really feel like I missed out.
No.
Because I've still had the fun.
Yeah.
But just not.
And he's still having the fun. Because like, he's still only 20, so like, you might as well still have a good time. Otherwise, when are you going to do it?
So.
And in terms of sort of, okay, so because of your job you didn't go to uni.
Yeah.
Was in terms of your parents, were they cool with that, or was there any sort of...
Yeah, totally. I mean, they couldn't have been more supportive.
Yeah.
Like, they were just like, do what you want.
Was there not even a little bit of suspicion of like, well, what's this company that you're totally going to do?
I always told my dad about what business I got up to when I was freelancing and stuff. Mm. And I'd had a track history of freelance with quite like big companies. So I don't think they were too worried. Like, you know, I was switched on, I wasn't like just falling into it. I think they were confident that I knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
And you are
very confident and mature for your age, so they probably saw that you were quite sort of you were happy with the opportunity and you sort of weighed it up yourself.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and bearing in mind, I've been doing it 3 years before, and I was already doing all right with it, being able to go out on the weekend and stuff like that, which I definitely didn't do because I was only 17 at the time.
Absolutely.
So that was what I did. So I went out, had a couple of Coca-Colas, but... but yeah.
You've already, it's a bit late considering you've already basically said that you sort of got into clubs in Norway that you shouldn't have gone into. So.
Yeah, that's a bit different because I was 18.
But so your parents are totally cool with it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, couldn't have been better really, honest to God.
In terms of your parents, like have either your mum or dad shown sort of like any sort of creative side to them or not?
I mean, My dad, he owns a building company, but yeah. He's sorted, like, he's jack of all trades. Like, he does everything. Like, he can, like, and he does a bit of architecture and stuff like that. So, I don't know, maybe I didn't get my creative side from him. And he is very, very, he's, like, confident, he's proper outgoing. Like, he can speak to anyone. He can speak to a plank of wood.
Did you maybe get your humour from him?
Yeah, so he's, and it was funny because, just the other day, my mate was out for a pint with his dad, and he saw my dad, and he was speaking to my dad, and he went, "God, it's just like speaking to Joe." And my dad was like, "That's the biggest compliment I could ever have." Do you know what I mean? So yeah.
Is your dad massive as well?
No, 6 foot.
Really?
I don't know. I think my granddad was like 6'4", I think. Right. But I don't know. Just.
You're just a freak.
Yeah, freak of nature. To be fair, but. Yeah.
So, we need to talk about Everton. Like, we need to sort of get that in there. You're an Everton fan.
I am.
Is that because of family or what?
Yeah, whole family's Everton.
Do you in Liverpool? Is it pretty much sort of is there no correlation between sort of geography and sort of what team you support, or do you get certain areas that are Liverpool, certain areas that are Everton?
No, I think everyone's sort of.
Just choose it.
Everyone's just mixed in. Like, literally, you'll get families where half of them are Reds, half of them Blues. That's just the way it is, really. Everyone, you couldn't look at someone and be like, yeah, he's a Red, or yeah, he's a Red.
One of the things that bores me so much is, like, when, like, especially with Manchester, it's a case like, oh, is Manchester Red or Manchester Blue? And you kind of think, well, it's both. You know what I mean? Like you get different ratios, but, like, in Liverpool, is it quite an even split, or is there more Liverpool fans?
What people actually say is, if there wasn't an even split, there'd be more Everton fans
right. Who
live in Liverpool, because obviously Liverpool are more global brand.
Yeah.
Because
one thing I've always said about sort of Manchester is that from, and I'm not saying this because I'm a United fan, but like from experience,
yeah.
I think there's significantly more United fans than City fans, but
I think that's mainly because of how well United.
Well, exactly. I was about to say that's partly because like just by its very nature, there'll be more Glory supporters. So you expect that.
Yeah.
Whereas like that's why I wondered whether there'd be more Liverpool fans, just simply because Liverpool would be more successful.
I mean, you know, back in the day, Everton used to be
in the 80s.
So. If you think about generations and stuff like that, yeah. It's not like we never did. Yeah. I mean, we're shy now,
yeah. But
like back in the day, we were alright.
Yeah, and a lot of it's sort of taking your club off your parents, isn't it?
So and that's about that's like my old dad won 60s. When was the last time we won the league?
Is it 85 or something?
80-something.
Yeah.
Like they won the league. I mean, my dad was about 20.
And your dad's an Everton fan?
Everton fan, yeah.
So
his family split. His dad was a Red. His brother supports Oldham.
Oldham.
He lives there now.
Right.
I think that's got something to do with it. Like.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the way it goes.
And so, obviously, like, at the moment, Liverpool are doing quite well and Everton... Like if we're being kind, we're saying like they're in transition.
Definitely.
I suppose at the moment we've both got the mutual sort of concern that Liverpool might win the league this season.
I don't have any concern they're not going to win the league. You can quote me on this. You can tweet this at me when Liverpool win the league. Liverpool are not going to win the league.
See, it makes me uncomfortable even you saying that, because like I'm the opposite, and like because I don't want it to happen, I'm sort of almost pushing the sort of, I'm almost saying it's gonna happen, just so almost like almost trying to tempt fate in some way.
See, it's all fun and games, but people are forgetting this is Liverpool Football Club. You know, everyone knows what they're capable of. I mean, Champions League final, Gerrard slip, even last night. With the goal line technology, You know what I mean? It's the most Liverpool thing
I've ever seen. Well, it's funny, like, because you're saying this as an Evertonian, and like people could think like you're sort of having a go at them. But like we were speaking to
Liverpool are great. Liverpool are amazing. Like,
but also like we were speaking to Abigail yesterday, and she's a Liverpool fan, saying exactly the same thing as what you're saying. That sort of like I was saying, yeah, but you're gonna win the league, aren't you? And she went, yeah, but we're fucking Liverpool. Do you know what I mean? So like it's almost like it's a self acknowledgement of like they are capable of being brilliant, but they're just as capable of sort of shooting themselves in the foot.
And honestly, God, it's the same with Everton.
Yeah,
we've got so much potential. Like, who the fuck puts the ball back into play when it's going over the bar?
That Pickford thing.
Pickford is the most Everton thing in it. I literally tweeted that's the most Everton thing that's ever Everton in the history of Everton. Like, it's the most. Like, for any people from London, imagine we are your Spurs.
Right.
We are the Spurs.
It's almost like Latic Spurs.
Literally. Yeah. Scouse Spurs, that's what we are. But shite. Shite Scouse Spurs, that's us. That's a quote on that. but yeah, no, literally, Everton, they're just.
I don't understand how something as serious and sort of potentially horrible for United and Everton fans as Liverpool winning the league. I don't understand how you can be so sort of blasé and cocksure about them not winning it. I think it's a real danger.
It's the best way to be.
I think we should be worried.
It's the best way to say it. It's lucky that I work in football now, because I can just cry into my numbers when Liverpool win the league.
You'll just create a video or something.
Listen, I'll make a video real bank and I'll just cry into the numbers. Like, it's whatever. Nah. But yeah, no, I don't know what I'd do if they did win the league.
Is there any level on which if they won it you would be happy for anyone?
I mean,
like mate to anyone.
Well, my mate plays for them, Shamal.
Sorry?
My mate Shamal plays for them.
Alright, yeah, what position does he play?
Goalkeeper.
Alright.
He actually played, I think was it friendly? He went up top for them and he was like trending on Twitter and stuff like that.
In the first team?
Yeah, but I think it was a friendly.
Yeah.
But other than him, because simply for the fact he played for them.
Is he a nice lad?
Nice lad, he's a good fella.
Yeah.
Are
most of your mates Evertonians? Or are they not into football?
Half and half.
Right.
Literally, that's what Merseyside is like, it's half and half Liverpool. Right. And but yeah, all my mates are into footy.
Right.
All like, yeah. But no, I don't think I'd be happy for anyone.
Yeah. And how are you generally feeling about Everton? Because they're not doing it particularly well at the moment, but they are. I mean, as a neutral, they're entertaining to watch.
See, that's the thing, that when we're put up with so much shit football for like Sam Allardyce, and it's like, yeah, we didn't get relegated, but that's not the fucking point. when you're playing awful. Marco Silva makes us play nice football. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, we can keep him for. He needs at least 2 years before we even see anything that we would be like. Don't be wrong, if we're 15th in 2 years, get shut. But for now, let's see what's happening. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah.
See how we can transform the squad. Our squad has drastically changed since he's joined.
Yeah.
Still, like, obviously, merging in players and stuff. I mean, if we just signed a couple of the loans that we've made, like, what's his bloody name?
The guy.
Andre Gomez.
Yeah.
Beautiful man, sexy FC.
He's like ridiculous.
Honest to God.
Have you seen him in the flesh?
Yeah, I've seen him in the flesh.
Is he
my man crush Monday. Man crush every day.
Your crush every day. Is he as good looking in real life?
Well, he was quite far away because I wasn't in the stand, but still, I can just tell he's a beautiful man. Honest to God, if I could be anyone in the world, it'd be Andre Gomez. But he's so good as well. Like, usually, like, good looking players, like, they're alright.
Yeah.
He's actually good.
Well, I mean, the funny thing with him, I mean, obviously he didn't have the best time at Barcelona, so you had, like, people sort of, like, taking a piss, but, like, one of the things, even people who acknowledged that he was good, like, there was almost an assumption that, like, he wouldn't fit into the English game because he's, like, he's not that type of player, but he seems to have done quite well.
Everton have had quite a few Barcelona players, to be honest, like, because obviously we've got...
Delaf...
We had Delphine. Yeah. He's at Watford now, I think. He did all right for us. Like, when he first joined, he was really good. I think he got a goal against, the last minute goal against Arsenal.
Yeah.
So he was all right for us. And then obviously we got Mina. We've got, I can't remember who's loaned and who we bought. We've got Andre Gomez. We've got Luca Dean. Luca Dean, by the way, one of the, like, he is Baines 0.2.
Right.
He's like, so, like, the free kick he scored the other day was amazing. But yeah, I think we're doing well integrating other Barcelona players. So yeah, if Barcelona want to dump any more players, like, feel free, we'll have them. You know what I mean? I mean, there's talks now of bloody Malcolm.
Oh, right.
Coming to Everton. And it's never going to happen, but
yeah.
You know, Everton might do an Everton and bring him in. And then he'll probably turn shy to the people next to him. But,
you never know, he might come to Everton and be as good as Pino.
I've never really rated Pino. This is going to be an extremely controversial opinion, but I've never really rated Pino.
Because
but the Everton fans fucking love Pino.
Yeah.
And I'm like, never right. Really took a liking to him.
It's really funny because just before we recorded this, you, Steve, and Matt put out your 20, what your ideal Premier League would be in terms of clubs.
Yeah.
And like, they picked theirs, and theirs was pretty similar to each other. You picked, yours was slightly different, but you're the one who's getting absolutely slated on Twitter.
I do not want to check my phone after this podcast. Seriously, I don't even want to look at it. Honest to God, like, a couple of them might have said about Cushes or you didn't have Portsmouth.
Yeah.
Mine's literally just pure hate. Like, honestly, like, I think, shout out to Niall McGarry, my boss replied saying, you can tell he was born in 2009. It was 1998, thank you very much. And then someone replied, yeah, and you can tell who fingers cats. So, yeah.
Well, that's true, isn't it?
So? Yeah, to be fair, it's dogs, but it was close. that's off the record, man. Yeah, so I apparently finger cats because I put Wigan in.
Yeah, is which is
not. It was not a bad shot.
Speaking of Niall and speaking about your job.
Yeah.
If in the next sort of 12 to 18 months or whatever, like, if you and by no means like always suggesting this would happen, but in a dream case scenario, if through work you were able to go to wherever you wanted in terms of sort of like covering like a sports event or going to sort of some kind of thing, what would be your dream sort of places to go?
Dream places to go?
If you sort of came in and said, right, I want to go to Spain for this, I want to go to fucking Champions League final, I want to go to like this festival, like, what would be your dream place and things to do?
I think if Liverpool were in the Champions League final again, I'd want to go.
You'd want to go to Liverpool,
yeah. I'd have gone to Kiev.
You're fucking mad. Why would you go to
Spain? Because they're going to lose. That's the best thing about it.
Because you
I'm not bitter.
But you're so confident that they're going to lose that you'd go. Yeah. I wouldn't want to go because what if they fucking won?
Just get pissed. No, but like,
yeah,
I mean, when Liverpool played Real Madrid, I lashed 20 quid on Liverpool because I thought win-win scenario.
Yeah.
And actually, I watched the game, I was working the game, but I had three mates in mine, and I've got a TV in like my office in my house, and they were all watching it on that behind me, and I was just watching Real Madrid score, and they're all Reds. I was just watching Real Madrid score goal after goal after goal after, and it was one of the best experiences of my life. Just watching them crying their eyes out.
What else?
What else would I do? In terms of strictly football?
No, anything.
I mean, one thing that probably wouldn't get this through way, I'd love to go to Burnham, man.
Right.
Where it's like,
Why?
Because I just like to see what it's like, because it's sort of like a new unknown, because it's like, apparently there's no currency, you can't buy anything, right. You can only do stuff through trading.
Right.
So, and the only things that.
What would you trade?
Bearing mind, I don't know.
You bought it?
Yeah, literally.
You won't get much for that.
He's aim 6'7". you can. The only thing we sell at the festival is ice.
Ice?
Because it's in the desert.
Ah, right.
So I
just, anyway, you're a fucking scouser, so you'd find some way.
I'd find a group of scousers. That is a fact. You can find scousers at any place in the entire world. You will end up, if I go to a festival, I will end up with a group of scousers. All we have this thing, because I think we interacted on Twitter about this, and they'll all have cat wigs.
Yeah.
And there's quite a debate on what is a cat wig and what isn't a cat wig. Basically, the definition of a cat wig is someone who
how do you spell Ketwig?
Ketwig.
Right, okay.
It's not all one word, it's two words, right. I think.
Yeah.
The definition of a Ketwig is a person, usually a man, who spends all their money or gets money from their mum and dad to spend on a haircut, and they don't spend on a haircut, they spend on Ketwig. And that's why their hair grows so long, and that's why they look scruffy. But now it's like in fashion.
Yeah.
Like girls love cat wigs.
But isn't part of what sort of identifies cat wigs as being curly as well?
Yeah, just because it's that long.
Ah, because it's unkempt.
Yeah. So yeah. You don't do anything. You don't touch it.
Right.
You just let it grow, and you can't cut it.
Right.
Because that's not scouse.
Yeah. Scouse is anti scissors.
Yeah. Literally. But.
You were also saying you'd love to go to Coachella?
I'd go to Coachella just because I'd like to see what it's like and how much, because English festivals are fucking horrible. They're just scum. And apparently American festivals are like absolutely amazing, like fine and dandy, everyone's right. Like having a great time. Whereas we're like pissing in mud, shitting in people's tents, lighting tents on fire. Like literally, I remember going to Greenfields the first time. The best part of Greenfields was the Monday after the 4 days of waking up and seeing people throw deodorant cans into. Please let me into press again in Greenfields after saying this, if you hear me. People throwing deodorant, I didn't do it personally.
Yeah.
People throwing deodorant cans into tents and then bombing the lighter into it and then tents blowing up. And then there was literally people driving around like fire brigades to like putting out tents. But it was so funny.
Such dickheads.
But very irresponsible, don't do it ever.
Yeah. Alright, well thanks for that.
That's right, man.
And and maybe we can do it again sometime.
Yeah.
Maybe if we end up going somewhere like Rome or wherever, we could do it there.
When in Rome.
When in Rome, yeah.
Do a podcast. No,
thanks for that, mate. Yeah. And just to sort of like finish off.
Yeah.
I want you to say.
Finish off, Nos.
I'll give you a happy ending. to finish off, like just in terms of football.
Yeah.
Like what's going to happen at the end of the season?
Everton are going to win the league.
That's a bit obvious.
No. City going to win the league. Liverpool all come second in goal difference.
So
from that one goal that they didn't score. That wins the VAR. Everton will come seventh. I can see United getting top four.
Really?
I can really just see him absolutely shit out into top four. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he win every single game the rest of the season. But yeah, I can see, and then at the start of next season, Solskjaer, you'll keep Solskjaer and you'll go to absolute shit. Because that's the most United thing to ever happen.
That'd be the worst. So you think Solskjaer will do well enough to get the job, and then just it'll be a mistake to sort of keep.
It's just so nice.
Yeah.
How nice, like, I don't mind United winning now because he's just such a nice fella. I just want to give him a cuddle.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think as even like United fans that sort of were right behind Mourinho and sort of wanted him to do well, I think even they are kind of quite enjoying like the sort of, it's almost like you can sort of breathe out a sigh of like just right now, like there's no politics, there's no poison.
I think United are just cute now because they're not going to do fuck all. Like they're not going to do anything really. Like they're not going to win the league, but they're not
just
like
it's just a pat on the head.
Go on then. Go
and,
on.
And you know that's bad if it's coming from
Everton
fans.
Have a few points. Go on. Yeah. Like, we you were above you like a week ago, do you know what I mean? So it's like, when Everton above you, you know something's going wrong. No wonder Mourinho got sacked. Anyway, but yeah, I think nice that's my prediction. Anyway,
cool.
Cheers, thanks very much.
You too.
Follow Gilardoji on Twitter.
Always about the fucking followers.
Yeah, okay.